I took out my cell phone and called Lynn Canavan directly on her cell. It rang 3 times. I could imagine her reading the caller ID window, preparing herself to answer. "I'm at the office," she said. "Why don't you come down here right away?" I told her, as Rifkin looked on with satisfaction, that if she had something to say, she could say it right then and save me the trip. "No," she insisted. "Come to the office, Andy. I want to talk to you face to face." I snapped the phone shut. I wanted to say something to Rifkin, goodbye or good luck or some valedictory bullshit, who knew what. Something told me he was right, and this was goodbye. But he did not want to hear it. His posture announced as much. He had already assigned me a villain's role. Probably he knew more than I did anyway. I left him on that green field and drove across the river to Cambridge in a defeated reverie. I was resigned to the fact that I would be removed from the case. It simply did not make sense that Rifkin would have come up with that on his own. Somebody had tipped him off. Probably Le Judas, whose Iago whispers in the district attorney's ear had finally won the day. Okay, then. I would be removed for a conflict of interest, a technicality. I'd been outmaneuvered, that was all. It was office politics, and I was an apolitical guy, always had been. So Le Judas would have his high-profile case, and I would move on to the next file, the next body, the next case to enter the funnel. I still believed all this, foolish or delusional or rationalizing as I was. I still did not see what was coming. There was so little evidence pointing to Jacob, a schoolgirl with a secret, some kids gossiping on Facebook, even the knife. As evidence, these were nothing. Any semi-competent defense lawyer would swipe them aside like cobwebs. At the courthouse, there were no fewer than 4 plainclothes troopers waiting at the front door to meet me. I recognized them all as CPAC guys, but I knew only one very well, a detective named Moynihan. They escorted me like a Praetorian guard through the courthouse lobby to the district attorney's office, then through cubicles and hallways abandoned on a Sunday morning, to Lynn Canavan's corner office. There were 3 people there, seated at the conference table. Canavan, Le Judas, and a press guy named Larry Siff, whose constant presence at Canavan's side for the past year or so had been a discouraging sign of the permanent campaign. I had no beef with Siff personally, but I despised his intrusion into a sacred process to which I had devoted my life. Most of the time, he did not even have to speak. His mere presence ensured that political implications would be considered. District Attorney Canavan said, "Sit down, Andy.